Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to leave a rating or a review wherever you listen to Going In Raw. And if you're on the YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button, the little notify bell next to it. Make sure you get all that new Going In Raw content, Larson. It's real. Speaking of real, you can visit us on the Twitter at... Look at that little, gave me a little thing right there.
Not working.
Oh, no.
This thing is very temperamental.
I wonder if the out music's not going to work either.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, you can visit us on the Twitter at Real Going In Raw.
Can we change that?
To what?
Real Going In Raw.
Spell it.
R-E-E-E-A-A-A-L-L-L-L-L.
So three E's, three A's.
And like six L's.
It's like six L's.
Real. No, it needs fewer L's. More E's.
Six
E's, four A's, two L's.
I don't think we're going to do that.
Real.
But I like your enthusiasm. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. If you want a great way to help support Going In Raw and get something in return, that's a great way to do it. You just go on there, you look at what reward tier and stuff you want. $10, you get a postcard. $20, you get the Friendo Care packages. I got a bunch more. We got some more stickers on the way because I ran into some stickers. So the next batch of care packages are about to launch out into the world.
Once stickers arrive.
Yeah, it should be today.
Anyway. Cool.
There's that. You can watch this show as a live stream and we do the recaps. We have 30 people watching right now.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. And so, yeah, good stuff. We're also on the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. All sorts of great designs. We'll see if this works. That didn't work.
None of it works.
My stream deck isn't working right now. I wonder if it's not going to give me the out music. We might not have out music. Oh. This is the NXT 205 Live recap, though, so I kind of care less. No, I don't care less about this. I'm okay with this being, like, you know, a crappier show.
Yeah, but the intro thing works. You did it from the PC, not from this.
That's yeah, right. Yeah.
How come we don't put this shirt up on...
This guy?
Yeah, shoot your TV, watch Going In Raw.
I don't know, that's kind of confusing. Even this phrase is confusing. I just sold this back when I used to do comic books.
Yeah, I know. This well, you're saying, telling people, don't watch television.
Yeah.
Read comic books.
Right, yeah, yeah, it's good.
So you can still destroy your television and watch Going In Raw on your desktop
or handheld device. Do you want me to do a shoot your TV, watch Going In Raw?
Yeah, sure.
You want me to do that? You're giving me the green light?
Yeah.
You don't seem very committed to it.
Well, is there something better we could do? That's inspired by that?
Maybe. We'll see. Do you want one of these shirts?
I used to have one.
Oh, man.
I wore it so often, it got holes in it.
Is that true?
It is.
That's what happened to my Bad Company shirt that you got me when I turned 21.
Yeah.
That's if it's. I still have it.
Yeah.
It's eviscerated. See, Lacey literally yells at me when I wear it.
I have a couple of shirts like that I get yelled at by the wife for keeping it around. My shirt like that, I ripped it in an intro for 10 for the Win. Because it was so destroyed.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, then it was put to good use. It did not die in vain.
No.
Let's talk about 205 Live and NXT. I was amused by both of these shows.
Yeah.
I thought they were all good.
Yeah, it was.
NXT was wonky because they were not shooting at a Full Sail.
No, they were at Atlanta's Center Theater.
None of it felt
Center
canon.
Stage Theater. Yeah, it felt like a house show they just happened to have cameras at.
Like, even the promos behind, like, backstage and stuff were weird because there weren't, like, classes going on.
Yeah, this wasn't Full Sail.
It wasn't
Full Sail. We're so familiar with Full Sail that we're not at Full Sail. It seems off.
Yeah, it was weird. They
especially
had to, like,
the booking of the main event felt like a house show segment.
Oh, it definitely felt like a house show. They come out on the stage, and they have to, like, turn around and
go downstairs.
Yeah.
No ramp.
Let's kick
Hold
it
on,
off.
But there wasn't, for WCW Saturday night, when they used to shoot it there wasn't stairs for or the ramp. There was actually that stage that had the doors they'd walk out in.
Like the techno door. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Like a spacecraft door.
And like some really pathetic smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Dry ice would like rise
some
up.
Some fog, yes.
Fog, yeah. I love WCW Saturday Night. I miss the 90s, man. 90s were fun.
90s were fun.
Yeah. Now we're old. Let's talk about 205 Live.
If we must. Oh, yeah. I actually like 205 Live. Yeah. I didn't watch last week's episode. So for me, last night or Tuesday night was the return of TJP.
Yes.
Man, he got shape.
He's shredded.
He looks fantastic.
He looks great. This is a really fun match. It's great to have him back.
Yeah, a rematch from the finals of the Cruiserweight Classic.
That's right.
And Grand Metalik's new ring gear is great.
Yeah, it's like slick. It's sleek.
Mm-hmm.
It's all black, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he looked great. This is cool. TJP, even his ring gear was like a bit peppier and poppier.
Yeah.
Had more stuff going on.
Yeah.
I thought he looked great. I was like, holy crap, he looks like a champion. Anyways, yeah, he lost.
Yeah, that was surprising.
They're doing a thing
where he's kind of like throwing fits after his matches.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his second loss. I guess he lost last week too. And then he's like walking around the ring at the end of this. It was a really fun match. All sorts of great
stuff. It was really good. Grand Metalik picked up the win with a Metalik driver.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the TJP guts on top of the announce table, starts throwing stuff around.
Yeah, he throws tosses the ring steps. Total fit.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see where that's going. I think it looks great, man.
What did Nigel McGuinness call him? A petulant child?
A petulant child. I now whenever I see Nigel McGuinness, I can never stop chuckling over your observation that whenever the camera first cuts to him,
whenever they seem to start a show, it seems like he had just eaten something, it looks like.
But specifically like a salad, because you know you got to get the grains out of your teeth.
It looks like he has something in his teeth. He doesn't do that anymore.
That's a bummer.
I know. But it seemed like I haven't noticed it since he stopped doing that.
Yeah.
So maybe
he stopped eating right before they went on air.
Maybe.
Anyways, no, that cracks me up though. Anyway, because the thing about Nigel McGuinness that I love so much is that when you look at,
that's interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was trying to find out or decipher what TJP's tight set on the buttocks area.
Okay.
And Karen in chat says it said Cruiser Great.
That's awesome. Can that be his gimmick?
I don't even know
what it would entail being a Cruiser Great.
Well, I assume being champion would have to be involved somehow.
Yeah, you would think so.
That would seem to be a necessity.
I'm not just a cruiserweight.
I'm a cruiser great. I'm Cruiser Great. We never actually employ the finger to get food out of his teeth.
Well, that's the next step.
At least not on camera.
It's getting there. Next up, we had an Enzo interview
where he's talking about getting whooped by Cedric Alexander on Raw. Talked about the status of his ankle. He said he might as well get a Ford tattoo because I'm built Ford tough.
Yeah. He said my eye is abysmal and my ankle is something else. I forget. But it was funny.
And then Tony Nese comes in the frame and says, you know, a few weeks back, you guys beat me up pretty good. Tried to beat some sense into me, and I think it worked. Yeah. I want back in the Zoe train.
That bums me out, man.
I know. So after I beat Cedric tonight, let me back in.
Yeah, that bums me out, man. I was hoping for big things. I feel like this thing that they were doing had steam to it, and it's kind of lacking that steam because of some things that were kind of, well, I don't know. Where was Drew Gulak this week?
Not on the show.
Whoa. There had to have been a reason for that.
Neither was Daivari.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there was
Tony Nese. Only wanted to rejoin the Zoe train.
He wants to be head of the Zoe train.
He wanted to be Riker.
Yeah, yeah, the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the number one behind the main guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is Drew's role right now, right?
That is Drew's role.
All right, that's going to cause some beef potentially between the two of them.
Yeah, so that's cool.
It's weird if they set up this whole storyline with the end result of Tony Nese turning face, because it seemed like Drew was on the trajectory of getting the face turn.
I know. That's why I kind of feel like the story has lost its way a bit. Like, this was an entertaining episode, but I feel like the story has lost their way. I wonder, pure speculation on my part, I wonder if they had not planned on putting the title on Cedric, but maybe see the reaction he's getting and are sort of saying maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Because Rich Swann was supposed to get that. In my opinion, it was supposed to be Rich Swann losing to Enzo. They put Cedric in his place. Well, he's going to lose to Enzo, but hold on. He's kind of getting over at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we want to, like, you know, maybe they're just doing some revisions to the script at the last minute.
I don't know.
But because, you know, Cedric is getting over, way more over than Rich Swann, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Quick note about ratings, because I'm curious.
Ninth or eighth?
Eighth. 205 Live came in eighth. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Anywhere in the top 10 is good.
Compared to where it was. But then apparently
six months ago, the
live show numbers are just atrocious.
Well, they had to cancel that one show.
Yeah.
Because of ticket sales.
No bueno. So anyways, Tony Nese says that he's going to not just beat Cedric Alexander, he's going to destroy him later in the night. That's the main event. Kind of bored with this already, Jack Gallagher.
He has some great facial expressions. I feel like maybe he's finally getting comfortable in his heel role a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
They were so over the top, but they were entertaining.
Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like he hasn't done anything significant as a heel.
No, he hasn't.
And then Hideo Itami, I feel, is just sort of falling into the Jack Gallagher black hole because he just comes out, he screams a lot, he beats the crap out of Jack Gallagher. This wasn't even a match.
No. Gallagher was saying that Hideo Itami was laid up because of a rib injury at his hands, I believe.
Yeah.
And then he was talking, you know, saying that something like no matter what he did to Itami, it would pale in comparison to what Itami did to Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
So then Itami shows up. Oh, he's here. He goes and beats up Gallagher a little bit, gets the umbrella. He's about to swing at him. Mm-hmm. Gallagher slips out of the ring.
Yoink gets out of there. Kind of treading water in
and
this case.
And flees to the crowd, yeah.
A little bit of treading water. I'm not sure you want Hideo Itami treading water for too long, man.
No.
People are not going to care. Next up, Cedric
Backstage
Alexander.
Cedric Alexander interview. Goldust appears.
Yeah. Those are cracking me up.
Yeah.
Wow. What was he talking about? Did you see Enzo's ankle? It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was going the other way. That weird voice of
his. Yeah, no. How does he do that?
I don't know. I don't know. He's able to put power behind
this right here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's great, though.
Oh, my gosh.
It makes him sound like he's 70 years old.
I know. It's hilarious, though, because it's so weird. Like, why is he doing that? It's so weird. Oh, man. But Cedric looks thoroughly entertained by him.
Yeah, they got a decent dynamic between the two of them.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Some
decent chemistry.
Yeah, there is. Next up, we had the main event, which is Tony Nese versus Cedric Alexander. They gave this like 13 minutes.
Yeah, a good chunk of time.
Yeah, it was a good chunk of time.
Enzo did a promo beforehand, introduced mm-hmm. Tony Nese.
Mm-hmm. Tony Abs.
Tony Nese didn't undo his vest with his pecs this time, though. It looked like he might have tried to, didn't do it the first time, so he just took it off.
Oh, manually. That could be. Yeah, you don't want to be sitting there trying to do it. You don't want to be telling that. Yeah.
Do this the whole time.
Do that. Exactly. It's like, you know, just have some class.
Exactly.
Just do it.
But then he got into the ring on the apron, I should say, and started flexing his pecs.
Well, yeah, man. That's weird. That's cool that he can do that. That's a goal.
I thought you could do that.
What's that?
Do the pecs, the back and forth.
Oh, the pecs. I thought you said the abs.
No.
Like we saw Carl Gotch do. You guys need to check out the Carl Gotch film. It's the best video on YouTube right now. Anyways, yeah, no, I could do that. I was doing that heck of this morning because, like, I did a chest exercise, like, I don't know, two days ago. And I check myself in the mirror every day.
Yeah.
And I look and I started doing it. I was like, oh my God, look at that.
Good.
Yeah.
I like
blowing
that.
It up.
Good.
I like it. Real.
That's me trying to motivate you.
No, I appreciate it. It's good. Let's see here. No, fun match, though. Cedric got the roll-up win via faking a leg injury.
Yeah, I know how I feel about that.
I like it because he's using his own medicine. Enzo's own stunts.
No, I know.
Own tactics.
That's typically speaking.
It
so
gives him a little bit.
Fakes an injury.
Oh, no. It gives him because exactly it's a low-level match. It's not like a cruiserweight championship.
That.
It's just Tony Nese. No, I like it. The thing that I like about it is that it served two purposes. Number one, to get the win, obviously. But number two, to further sow some seeds of dissent between Tony Nese and Enzo.
Because as soon as the match was over, Enzo told Tony Nese to get out of the ring.
Yeah, exactly. So it made Tony Nese look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So, no,
yeah,
I
get
I
that.
It.
Okay, now that you explain it that way, it makes more sense.
It's good. I mean, here's the thing that I do like, that I really like about it, is that it gives further dimension to Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
You know, it's not... He didn't need to do it necessarily.
But he did do it, yeah.
He did do it, just to mess with people.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
No, I understand that, too.
Anyway.
That I appreciate. Enzo got in the ring.
This next part was great, because he just murdered Enzo.
Yeah.
Enzo gets in the ring. Cedric Alexander destroys him, gives him a lumbar check.
Sweeps the leg twice and gives him a lumbar check, yeah.
Picks up the title, holds it high.
And then puts it behind Enzo's head.
Yeah, has him use it as a pillow. So, yeah, it was an entertaining episode. I do kind of feel like... There's a little bit of treading water happening between Enzo's flu thing, and I don't know. I don't think this leg thing is legit, but I do feel like there's, since the Rich Swann thing, there's been a shifting of gears that has perhaps led to some treading of water.
Maybe
to see if they really feel like Cedric might be.
It could be.
If they,
I really wish they would implement the story idea I think you came up with where He just gets tired of Enzo talking, so every time Enzo comes out and starts to drop a promo,
Lumbar checks him. That'd be good, too, yeah. I wish they would. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, now we get to talk. This is my favorite time of the week. It's talking about NXT.
NXT time.
So they were in, what is it, University of what now?
It's at Atlanta Center Stage Theater, I want to say it's called. Somewhere in Atlanta.
Oh, in Atlanta, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it a school in Atlanta?
I don't believe so.
No?
Okay. No, it's where WCW Saturday Night was shot. It's not a school.
Oh,
it's just a theater.
Okay. All right, well, I don't
it's
know.
A performing arts venue.
I thought they only exclusively do schools.
That's not true. They were at the Memorial Auditorium here. That's not a school.
That was a house show, not a TV taping. That's different. Where did they do it last year? The same place? Remember when they did TV tapings that weren't...
No, that was at UCF. That was a school.
That was a school, see?
So in Orlando.
There's a precedent there. Anyways, moving on. What do we have here? Oh, man, it opened up with an Undisputed Era promo. Can't get enough of these.
Yeah, can't go wrong with this.
And he did. He didn't say story time, but he said boys and girls.
Yeah.
So that was good. Adam Cole, Bebe, of course, delivered a promo talking about... What was he talking about?
It was all three of them talked.
Yeah, they all got mic time, or they all got time to talk.
Yeah, Adam called this the bookended.
He said, he was talking about the NXT title.
Yeah.
So these guys got that title, I want that title.
Yeah.
Anybody gets in my way is going to whatever. So it was good. What were they hanging on? They weren't hanging on.
No, wasn't Adam Cole leaning against something?
He was leaning forward against something.
Yeah.
I forget.
No, they were backstage, and they were behind him was the first aid road case. That's what it was.
Okay.
That's what I noticed.
All right.
So I was watching. He was leaning against a road case and looked back behind Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's where they keep the gauze and the Band-Aids and stuff back there.
We'll see. So it was all thematic then. Hold on. I want to see it now.
They were foreshadowing their beatdown of Sanity later on.
I know. Exactly.
See, that's storytelling right there.
That's very, very good storytelling.
First match of the night, however, while you load this up.
Yeah.
Was Shayna Baszler making her NXT debut.
Oh, man.
Against Dakota Kai.
I am huge, huge on Shayna Baszler now, man. I think she's fantastic. I think she is one they're going to go all in on. And it's smart because, her best friend is what's her face?
You went too far.
Yeah, I know. Wait, go back a little bit. Dang it.
You went too far. There you
there
go.
You
see,
go.
Look back there.
Oh, yeah, look at that. It's a little measured.
Oh, it's behind there. Bobby Fish. Sorry.
Yeah, well, no, you're close. Look at that. And he's leaning on a case, equipment case. Look at that. He's such a good-looking guy. Smart to have him up front, all close into the camera.
They posted a still of that on Twitter.
Right.
And I made sure to screen grab that for future use.
Show the camera.
It's just Adam Cole's face.
Oh, man. This is
it was too good to pass up. Anyways.
Well, I want to see if Nigel's eating is finishing up his food. Nope.
I would notice it more on
205 Live.
Yeah. The last couple of weeks, I haven't noticed it. Anyways, let's get to this match. Shayna Baszler destroyed Dakota Kai, stomped on her arm, and the ref stopped the match because it looked like she legit dislocated something.
So, Dakota Kai got in a position where her arm was
she was
this.
Laying on her stomach, and her arm was like this. And Shayna Baszler stomps on it right here.
Yeah.
And so Dakota Kai had to bend it back like that.
She had to go it went down like this.
To the mat, yeah.
Yeah. And but she's very limber apparently, and she just brought her shoulder down.
But the timing had to be really good.
Yeah,
for someone not to get messed up.
Because here's the thing. When you can fake that and still go to a slow-mo replay and have it look that devastating, you've done a really good job because that looked bad.
Yeah,
but it was really, really well done.
It was because Shayna Baszler's stomp looked like it was full force.
I know.
Didn't look like she pulled that at all.
I know. It looked great, though. So the ref stopped the match. Dakota Kai was all crying on the match. Stop it, please. Stop it.
Shayna Baszler
wasn't
content to do that, so she went up. As the trainers were checking on her and choked her out.
Yeah, but before that, she was just laughing. Yeah. She was getting off on it. And then she goes down there and freaking chokes her. Oh, it was great. And then Ember Moon comes running down. She has to be all, don't do that. But I'm all in on Shayna Baszler, man.
Okay.
All day long.
All right.
I think she's going to be a big star. I kind of wonder if, maybe it's just the opportunity to do it because she is kind of so unique. I mean, she looks legit. Mm-hmm. She looks as legit as it gets. Mm-hmm. And she comes off that way, and her personality seems that way. I wonder if – I don't know if they're going to have her take on the same Asuka-style undefeated thing. And I'm not sure how I would feel about this, but if they had if they put everything into one person per NXT cycle. Because I'll say this one thing that I did notice, you know, when Ember Moon comes down, and even with like the new setup and everything, the women's division specifically, because Asuka wasn't there, felt fresher. Mm-hmm. It felt like, you like to say, parody. It just felt like, okay, that thing isn't there. Asuka isn't there about to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And they have been bringing up, you know, we got Dakota Kai, who we've seen, you know, we saw in the Mae Young Classic, yeah, of course, but then she's all over, you know, like NXT social media and stuff like that. It feels fresher. It feels like there's a bunch of new faces there. And I wonder, like, with how much they seem to be putting into Shayna Baszler, I wonder if they're going to go all in on her, not necessarily at the cost of the rest of the division.
Yeah, yeah.
But similar to what they did with Asuka.
Could be. I would anticipate a pretty significant and potentially lengthy feud with Ember Moon, though.
I would think that would be the case.
I wouldn't be surprised if their match at TakeOver is some sort of stoppage, mm-hmm, a la what we saw with, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. That could be. I mean, part of me would be kind of surprised if they went the stoppage route with Ember Moon. I don't know. I mean, this is going to be her first title defense, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to put the title. Well, yeah. Well, Regal said, so after this.
Oh, yeah. If you want a title match, that's not the way to go about
doing
it.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. And then she just said, are we done here? And then walked away, which mm-hmm. It was great. It was wonderfully mm-hmm. delivered. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I liked it a lot. We had an Authors of Pain promo where they talked a lot.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're prepping them for Maine.
Absolutely.
Because Paul's not going
to
go with them.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if Paul Ellering went to Maine with them.
I got that distinct feeling. I'm like, oh, they're talking way too much. Oh, he's not going to go with them. So they're going to have to do their own talking. Mm-hmm. And something's going to be missing without him there, man.
Is there anybody they can put the Authors of Pain with on Maine? You can't replace Paul Ellering.
Yeah, of course.
But that can fill a role close to...
Jim Cornette. Give him that tennis racket back. All the money in the world right there. Boom.
I was hoping for a serious answer from
gave
you.
I gave you the best answer.
As I can tell, you're not taking this question seriously.
But I came up with something better.
No. No.
What a tennis racket.
No.
Oh, man. Is there anybody they can put him with? I don't know.
It's too bitty. Don Callis is busy doing something else. He'd be a good manager for Authors of Pain.
Yeah, maybe. A little goofy.
But he's got gravitas to his voice.
Yeah, he does. No, I mean, no, I don't know. I mean, I'd be fine. If he goes to Raw, put him on Raw's. Don't worry about the house show. Just, you know.
Oh, yeah,
Tell me he wouldn't travel one day a week.
Yeah, I don't think he traveled on the house shows when we saw him.
He was there?
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah, there. That's right. There.
Yeah. At least the first one. I don't know about the second one.
Yeah, I don't remember the second one.
Were they there at the second one?
I think so.
Yeah
they were. But he wasn't there the second one.
Okay, maybe
just the
not.
First one.
Yeah, send him out. I mean, I don't know if he'd want to do it, obviously.
Yeah, that's a huge
thing. I would think that would be an open offer. Hey, if you want to come to Raw's. Mm-hmm. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he just wants to wind it down.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be.
He's got to be getting up there in years.
Oh, yeah.
70s
yeah.
for
Still
sure.
Still looks great.
Oh, though. Yeah.
Yeah. But so they gave up. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was. Here's the thing. Their promos, what they said, it was delivered effectively.
Yeah.
I was cool with it. They're just much more menacing when they're not talking,
exactly.
And he is.
Exactly.
That's the thing. So, but no, I thought it was cool. They talked a lot in their own languages, which was cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that too. Next, Cassius Ohno versus Raul Mendoza.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is another. See, they kind of. Cassius Ohno is gatekeeper guy.
Yeah.
But they book him right because he wins.
He gets the win matches on occasion.
He wins every match except for the ones that he's gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Lars Sullivan, he takes a loss. Raul Mendoza, of course, is going to get a win.
Yeah.
I like the bit where Raul Mendoza was trying to headlock him, and then Cassius Ohno just lifted him up.
Oh, yeah,
by,
yeah, yeah.
You know, by standing up, basically.
Yeah, that was great.
That was cool. Anyways, Cassius Ohno went over with a leaping elbow.
What do you call it? The high-tension elbow? I think that's what
is that what it's called?
The commentary team called it. It's the elbow to the back of the neck.
I love him, man.
Yeah, he's great.
Send him up. Bring him up to Maine. I just want him to have Andre the Giant Battle Royal, even that. Or the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, have him show up in the Rumble.
Just give him.
That'd be great.
Just give him a
have
moment.
Him eliminate somebody with an elbow.
Crowd, when I guarantee you, they hear, oh, no, that crowd is going to go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, especially his history in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ring of Honor used to run a lot of shows in Philadelphia, I believe.
Holy moly. Hey, when Daniel Bryan leaves, there's your next GM.
Oh, Cassius Ohno.
Cassius Ohno.
I want to see him wrestle still, though.
Look, man, I love the guy wrestling. I'm just saying he'd make for a great
most
GM.
Mild-mannered GM.
I know.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey. 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 Hey.
Hey. You like my Cesaro shirt?
That's right. The American Eagle one. Next up, we had a Zelina Vega press conference. I could listen to her. I could literally watch like a 2 hour Zelina Vega press conference and never get bored. I like how they all had their iPhones out and they made sure all to hit record on voice memos to make it extra legit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. So they were just talking about, she was talking about Johnny Wrestling. Mm-hmm. She said, we've already beat him twice. She said, the Johnny Wrestling is a lie.
Says he didn't earn that spot. He got lucky.
Mm-hmm. She said, three guys are beating the crap out of each other, and he picked the right one at the right time. Ooh. I don't know, man. Like, okay, so the obvious answer is Ciampa's going to cost him the victory.
Yeah, Gargano's be on the verge of winning. Ciampa's going to come out either just to distract or to attack.
But three law. I mean, it's. I don't know which is more difficult to believe, that they're not going to give Hideo Itami one successful title defense, or they'd have Johnny. What? I'm sorry. I always say Hideo when I mean Andrade Almas. I don't know why. I do not know why. I always say that.
Anyways, continue.
That they would not have Almas successfully defend his title once. Or they'd have Johnny Gargano lose three times.
Well, I think it's more likely to have Gargano lose three times if it's defeat a larger story, which is him in Ciampa.
Doesn't it seem like really obvious, though?
Oh, it is really obvious.
Yeah. But as I like NXT. I feel I don't do a lot of really obvious things. Like, for example, Andrade Cien almost winning the NXT title.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
That was a damn surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I don't... I just... Dude, I'm trying to find some other thing beyond Ciampa just coming in and
the reason I think Ciampa's going to be there because of the time frame is right for him to return from that injury.
I get it.
It's been, what, 9 months?
Yeah.
Or will be 8 months? 8 months?
It'd be weird if they had it. El Idolo!
Yeah, it'd be weird to have almost dropped the belt so soon after winning it.
I know. But then three losses for Gargano against the same guy?
Yeah. No one's going to remember that when Ciampa shows up and beats him.
Yeah, maybe.
And they can feud for the next 6 months.
Next we had a Velveteen Dream interview.
No, it was a Gargano interview that Dream interrupted.
I was looking at Velveteen Dream's name right here. It was a Gargano interview. Velveteen Dream came in and interviewed, and I loved it.
Oh, he's great.
He is so good, man. He is so good. He's so damn good. He's such a weirdo. I think the dude is legitimately probably kind of a weirdo, kind of a kooky guy. You know what I mean? I mean, he was doing that pro Trump stuff, which is amazing, which is so ahead of his time. You think about it, it's so ahead of his time because look at what world we're living in now. It's fantastic. Anyways, Velveteen Dream comes in and says, "You got lucky. You didn't deserve this.
You took my spot."
Yeah, he said that's what he came in first and said. Say it. And Gargano was like, say what? Not my name.
Thank you.
That was great.
It was great.
The Street Profits were on copious amounts of some upper because, my goodness, they had lots of energy. It's a little too much.
I just think Regal's
getting up there in age. And when he's sitting there talking to Regal, and he's like, Regal, hey, Regal, you know what I'm talking about? Whoa, it's way too much. Bring it down a notch. The guy's old. Gonna give him a heart attack. Anyway, Street Profits are lingering. They're like yelling at everybody.
They're just going backstage. They nearly, that one guy who was on his phone.
I know.
He nearly jumped through the roof.
I know. Relax just a bit. You're not in the ring right now.
No, I like it. I like the energy.
Oh, I don't like that, man.
Oh, it's great.
If you're backstage, do you want to deal? You're on a text
message.
That's
the whole idea.
Okay, scenario. I'm here on text message.
Hey!
Yeah. Do you want that? Do you really want that?
Me personally, I don't know, but that's the whole point of it, is that they're backstage with a lot of energy. That's the whole point.
I don't like it, man. I don't like it.
It's not too different from what they were doing with Tino Sabatelli's car.
Yeah, but they're not like with people trying to do their business backstage. You see Britt Baker back there?
Oh, no, I didn't notice.
She was one of the people they passed by and yelled at. Anyways, they're like, hey, let's go talk to William Regal, but they say it in a very like obnoxious way. And they go in and they knock on his door and they yell his name. And then they go in there and he seems very pleased to see them.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also very startling. They go from 0 to 100 too quick.
No, I like it.
I can't do that.
I like it.
What if you're sitting there having lunch? You're trying to stuff your face full of, hey!
See, I was fine with it there.
No, you're not going to be good with it. You saw it coming.
Anyways, I got really good peripheral vision. I'd see him coming.
Your peripheral vision is nowhere near as good as mine. I can see what you're doing right now.
I can see you right now, too.
Street Profits asked for a tag team title shot.
Yeah.
And William Regal said, you'll get one in the form of a number one contender match next
against
week.
Against Authors of Pain.
Oh, yeah. And they were fine with it. They were good with it.
Yeah.
Good face reaction. Next up, Leo Rush versus Lars Sullivan, which was my match of the night. I can watch a Leo Rush match all day long. All day long. This kid is special in a way that I've never seen before in wrestling. It reminds me of when I saw RVD for the first time. I didn't know that could be done in wrestling.
Yeah.
Leo Rush is a guy, you watch him wrestle. I didn't know that could be done in wrestling.
Yeah.
It's great. Lars Sullivan is amazing.
Yeah.
His theme song is like one of my favorite things.
Well, his whole
now.
Entrance is amazing.
He's great. And they did the thing again with the silhouette. So that's here to stay.
They've done it for like 3 weeks in a row.
They've only done it one time before this time.
This is the third time they've done it.
This is not the third time. No, it is
third
not.
Third time they've done it.
He didn't even wrestle. Like, he hasn't wrestled since they did it.
This is the third time they've done it. The
That's
first time.
Not
no,
true.
We had a conversation.
This is the second time.
We had a conversation. The first time they did it, you said, was that like an accidental thing? I was like, no, it's purposeful. Because the second time they did it, the lighting on his silhouette was a tad off.
Really?
Yes, just a tad.
Wow, I don't remember
this
that.
This is the
bit.
Third time they've done it.
I do not remember that. Wow.
Manuel, third time. Alex C., third time. Jason the Cabby, third time.
Oh, what do they know?
More than you, evidently.
Apparently. My goodness. Anyways, Lars Sullivan's great. That silhouette thing.
Yeah, it's good.
They just did. I'm glad second time.
Third time.
Looks great. Lars Sullivan destroyed Leo Rush, but there were some fun bits here, man.
Yeah.
It was Leo Rush doing everything he could to do to bring the
to
big
use
man
his
down.
Quickness advantage to.
Oh man, it was so much fun. That
chance,
bit where Lars is on the apron and Leo Rush came up and did like the handstand springboard,
oh, the double heel kick,
the
type
double
deal.
Heel kick. Oh, that was beautiful. Just outrunning him, it was so much fun. Why can't this be? I know at the end of this, so Lars Sullivan destroyed Leo Rush with a freak accident. Then he went up top.
No, first he dropped the promo.
Called out Killian Dane.
Called out Damo.
I don't want that. I want 6 months of Leo Rush versus Lars Sullivan, where Lars Sullivan beats him every time except for the very last time.
Yeah.
That should be Lars Sullivan's first loss, and that should be Leo Rush's first win.
Okay.
That'd be huge.
That'd be fantastic.
They're not doing that,
No,
though.
They're not going to do that. They're going to have a Hoss battle.
I don't like this. I don't like it because somebody has to lose. I don't like that.
It's probably going to be Killian Dane because Sandy might go up to Maine after Mania.
Yeah, that could be. Okay, that could be. That's the only situation. The only time I'm cool with that kind of loss is if they go up. Yeah, if they do that.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to go up to Maine.
But, I mean, look, I'm all for a Hoss battle.
Yeah.
You know that. I love Hoss battles.
Sanity to SmackDown.
Especially these two guys.
Sanity to SmackDown and Authors of Pain to Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But Nikki Cross on SmackDown with that terrible writing for the women's division?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It is really bad.
Put them all on Raw.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, they can do this. They can put Authors of Pain on SmackDown and make them faces.
With 10-minute promos to begin every show.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So, yeah, Lars calls out Damo, and afterwards he does like a second rope freak accident, just picks up Leo Rush.
Oh, man. It was devastating.
Man, he destroyed him.
Devastating.
Backstage we go. Undisputed Era apparently jumped Sanity and beat him down backstage so they didn't have a tag title match. They
come out. What was with all the graffiti back there? Do they not like clean up their business? Did you notice that? There was like a whole wall of graffiti.
Yeah.
Where were they filming this?
I think that was at Center Stage Theater in Atlanta.
They went to like the freaking slums of Atlanta. Found some like really dilapidated building.
That was just at the theater, man.
Why are there so much graffiti?
I don't know.
It looked cool, though.
It did look cool. Maybe that's why it's there. Did you think about that?
Maybe.
Gosh. Undisputed Era come out, drop a promo.
Nikki Cross comes out, like, with a head full of steam, held by two refs, had to be held back. Crowd popped big.
Oh, yeah.
I love Nikki Cross. She's, like, one of my favorite things in the world. It's, like, my child, my dog, Nikki Cross, my wife. Then, like, 30 steps down, you.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
I'm surprised it's 30.
You're in top 10, man.
I thought I'd been 60.
Oh man. Anyways, William Regal comes out. He's all mad.
He's like, you don't think you're gonna have a tag title match?
Yeah,
think
you're again. All defending those titles. And then before he said who, Roderick Strong's music hit.
And says, I want a piece
of them.
And I'll go find someone in back, and then Aleister Black's music hit.
That was huge.
And he
but
says,
it was,
as do I.
Dude, it was so house show.
It was so house show.
That's stuff only happens.
The staging of it, all of it was so
house
show.
Like Roderick Strong and Aleister Black teaming up?
That's the main event to get people in seats.
Aleister Black on the mic in the first place is so house show.
I know.
unless he has something super important to say. Oh, man. But, hey, it was great. It was a really, really
fun
match.
It was a fun match. The finish was fun. Got us an interesting match at TakeOver, potentially. So, competitive match. Adam Cole gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls Aleister Black out of the ring, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adam Cole's like, whoa.
Hold on a
second. I didn't mean to start any business here. Goes running up through the crowd at Center Stage Theater. Aleister Black follows. As he does so, Redragon hits Total Elimination for the win.
To Dragon again.
And Aleister Black turns around and does this.
Yeah, what was that look? He shouldn't be trying to make faces.
No, I thought it was fine.
He looked weird.
It was
man.
A little over the top, but it was cool.
Because usually it's like this.
That's why it's so significant when he's all.
It was shocked Aleister Black face.
Yeah.
Man. It was weird.
So he runs back down towards the ring. Undisputed Era attacks him. Cole drops him through a chair.
Yeah. Then Regal. Oh, they go up to the ramp.
Yeah.
And Regal comes out again and says, Adam Cole, your match at TakeOver Philadelphia against Aleister Black, that man up there, will be. Oh, he says, hold on, don't do it yet. He says, Philadelphia has a history of being extreme. Your match against that man up there, Aleister Black, will be an Extreme Rules match.
And yeah. Cole was in his face before he even said extreme. Jumped the gun a little bit there, Adam Cole.
A little bit.
I would have much preferred him just go do this. Extreme Rules!
That's his reaction to everything.
I love that for the War Games announcement.
Yeah.
War Games!
War Games! I'm afraid all we've got at catering is prime rib.
Prime rib!
I'm afraid we're all out of lined paper. We only have printer paper.
Printer paper? I need a legal pad!
We could do that forever. Anyways. So yeah, that was fun. It was a fun episode of NXT. It was weird because it wasn't at Full Sail.
Episodes kind of feel television.
Like, kind of feel like it's just, it's not canon, but I'll take it. It's fun.
Like another month and a half at least of it, Steve.
Yeah, man, it's like alternate universe, man.
I think I read
mirror
that
universe
and
NXT.
Hopefully, Karen and Chet can confirm this that they're headed back to Full Sail in March.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Thought maybe it's April.
Yeah,
but they'll be back at Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry.
Yeah.
And just when we get used to it being at Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, they'll go back to Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if it feels familiar.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Jason the Cabbie in chat says Nikki Cross didn't really talk a whole lot, so SmackDown live women's writing wouldn't really affect
her.
Oh,
SmackDown will change that.
Exactly. They'll have her talk and talk and talk.
Yeah, Karen says March 7th.
Oh, she already has her ticket. Nice. Very good. March 7th. Oh, that's a ways off, man. When is Strong Style Evolve?
March 25th.
Oh, wow. All right. Oh, questions. Let's answer. Yeah, let's do some questions now.
Questions?
Dan Boss, when do you guys think William Regal will go into WWE Hall of Fame?
Oh.
4 years.
He's getting up there in age. He's looking up there in age. How old is he? He's got to be in his
49.
He's only 49? Man.
He's been wrestling a long
time. Yeah, he has
wrestled
been.
A long time.
He has been. I would say within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no big rush to it. I don't think he wants to. What if he plans to retire from NXT or whatever,
yeah.
Then they'll do it then, but I don't think there's a big rush for it.
No. Return of the Zach. What
Return
the hell
happened? Return of the Zach.
What the hell happened to No Way Jose? I thought I heard he was hurt.
Oh, really?
But I could be wrong. Chris Kimmel says he's just wrestling at the house shows.
Hmm.
So.
Maybe he's going to come up, too. Do you think there's going to be like a mini call-up after the Rumble?
No. I think that's WrestleMania.
Yeah, probably.
Foxy the Foxy Fox. Hey there, friendos. How many NXT 205 Live stars do you think will make it to both Rumbles? And who would you like to see? Thanks. Well, we've read in the newsletter that 9... women from NXT are going to be in the Rumble.
That's a huge number.
That's a lot.
That's awesome. Do you think any 205 Live guys are going to be in the
Rumble? Yeah, I heard they were going to be in the
Rumble. Oh, really? Yeah. It's got to be Cedric, right?
Oh, I think Cedric's so. Well, not if he's challenging for the Cruiserweight title.
Oh, if they're
probably
not. At the Rumble.
Mustafa Ali.
Maybe.
Oh, Drew Gulak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a
from
lock.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's totally happening.
Yeah.
That's totally happening. He'll stop the Rumble to do a PowerPoint presentation.
Great.
That's going to
get
happen.
Eliminated.
Yeah, and get eliminated.
That's fine.
That's great.
Yeah, Drew Gulak's got to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Who else from NXT would we like to see? Cassius Ohno, for sure.
Oh, Cassius Ohno, definitely.
Dan Matha.
No. No. Not enough spots for a scrub like that, man. Come on.
They should have built them up for like months on end. Dan Matha debuting at the Rumble. Eliminated immediately.
By Samoa Joe.
By Samoa Joe. Gosh, that was the greatest thing.
That was the greatest thing, man. That was so awesome. That was like over a year ago.
Yeah, no.
That was such a long time ago.
Gosh, that was great. The Cat, Daryl Takahashi, assuming 205 Live hits its demise this year, what cruiserweight would have the highest ceiling on main roster?
Cedric Alexander.
Yep.
He just looks good. Yeah, I was reading up a little bit on him last night. So he was like in Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. but apparently he was woefully underutilized there. It's kind of crazy. A guy who's woefully underutilized in Ring of Honor can then come up and be,
I know,
you know, pretty decent.
I mean, it's if you just watch his match against Kota Ibushi in Cruiserweight Classic, you see he is like a huge star in the making.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying it.
Yeah.
But he worked PWG and a bunch of other indie
promotions
before.
Nicholas Grosskirth, should WWE have done away with the stage in Atlanta like in WCW? There seems to be a serious lack of space on the floor. It's funny, the crane shots give a whole new dimension to the venue size.
Yeah.
It's small.
It is small. It seems very intimate. It looks like there's no bad seat in the house.
I know, because it's all, yeah. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me that WCW Saturday Night would play in front of such a tiny crowd. Mm-hmm. If the venue was configured the same way, mm-hmm. the same, yeah. Boy, that would have been fun.
I know. What do you think? Maybe.
What do you think the biggest match on WCW Saturday Night ever was?
That's a good question.
Do you think Hogan was ever on Saturday Night?
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Huh. Anyways, what now? Should they have done away with the stage? No, I liked it. I thought it was fine.
It added a different dimension.
It made it. I mean, here's the thing. So much of it came off like house show. The stage didn't because they had like a big Tron.
Yeah, yeah.
So they needed that.
Ty Dingleberry. Hey, friendos. Is this going to work? Nope.
No, man. Power Rank doesn't work.
Power Rank NXT Superstars Entrances. He says, Lars Sullivan is quickly rising in the ranks for me.
Yeah, man, me too.
Aleister Black has to be number one, though.
Oh, that's number one. That's like one of the most, like one of the best entrances I've ever seen, mm-hmm. ever. It's mm-hmm. so good.
So Aleister Black won.
Yeah.
Lars two. The staging, the framing.
Oh,
of
I would say
Lars
I would,
is really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, no, this now Lars is good. I would actually put Lars at number three. I put Sanity number two.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good entrance.
It is. It is. Four.
Okay, I mean, we just mentioned him. No Way Jose.
Yeah, that's good.
Especially on the house show when he comes out and does a conga line.
Five. Movie. Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, his is good.
Yeah.
His is good. Dude. I'm trying to think of anybody else's.
Undisputed Era. Well, they know what they're doing with that, though. They throw that up so quick.
I know they do.
They must have practiced on the road or something.
Oh, yeah.
This is a good question. Bronze grappling hook. Am I the only person that thinks Bayley has a gimmick that was good for the NXT audience but was never going to survive on Maine? I think it was it's just the creative on Raw just messed it up. Bayley should have been $1 million on the main roster. She should have been.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I think she's easy. Here's the weird thing about Bayley, and this is going to sound weird. I think she's easy to get right, but she's also easy to get wrong.
Well, I think
we've seen that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I might have thought that a little bit. Like, I wonder how that's going to play. But I always figure they just get it right because it's not that difficult. I always felt that the vaudevillains had zero chance in the main roster.
Yeah.
That was such a niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Power Rank NXT 205 Live wrestlers that are most likely to be hashtag all in.
But wait, NXT 205 Live guys that are going to be at all in?
Or that could be.
Well, they'd have to be released between now and then.
Exactly.
Oh.
say 205 Live goes gets canceled. All those guys are released from their contract. Well, except for a handful.
Okay. Let's say Cedric stays. Obviously, Enzo's going to stay.
Yeah. Drew stays.
Drew stays.
You'll have to keep at least six, I would think. I don't think they would disband the entire Cruiserweight division just so the show gets canceled.
Yeah, that's a good point. But those are guys, who did I say? Drew?
Drew, Enzo, Cedric.
Enzo, Cedric. Yeah. Yeah, you need a Cruiserweight division.
All right, let's just not worry about contracts. Let's say if they anybody under a WWE contract or in NXT or 205 Live could appear at all.
Yeah, Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Adam Cole.
I think
and Reed Dragon.
Roderick Strong.
Oh, yeah, Roderick Strong for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about this? Cassius Ohno, Cesaro,
oh,
reform the Kings of Pro Wrestling.
All right, you win. You win that particular power rankings. Jason the Cabbie, does having three separate heels go over the line in the same show, then be super flippant about it, especially the Baszler bit that was kind of disturbing? Does that make Regal look like an ineffective manager?
Well, I think at the end, no. A bit with Undisputed Era.
I mean, things happen, and at least he reacts to them.
Yeah.
You know, in a very
Adam
stern
Cole
way.
Got right in his face. He didn't back down.
No, he didn't. Well, he's 6'3", and Adam Cole is like 4'9".
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Regal is on the verge of booking himself against Adam Cole, I feel like, just to teach you a lesson, young man. I mean, NXT is quickly becoming Saved by the Bell with Regal as belting, but no, I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's good. I mean, it'd be boring if everybody didn't, nobody went over the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why did you have a confused look on your face?
No, I'm just...
Oh, here we go. The Dynamic Knight Martinez. Oh, Joshua Martinez. Who do you think has had the best NXT send-off? Not call-up, but greatest last show on NXT. Bobby Roode. He got pinned and literally
teleported
out of there. I mean, the answer is Asuka, right?
Yeah.
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 That almost brought a tear to my eye.
Same here, man.
Ooh. And when I say almost, I mean it actually did.
Yeah, you got all the waterworks completely.
Oh, dude, go! Oh, I was a mess. Look at this. Don't go to work today. She's like, God, why did I marry you? I was like, I don't know. Then I put my pants.
The Nightcrawler. Hey guys, so my question is, what is your opinions on overexposure and how do you think it affects WWE? In the Nightcrawler's opinion, you could make guys like Shinsuke feel a lot more special if they weren't on TV every week.
Well
we've seen that where he's not on TV every week.
And it just makes him feel like an afterthought. Here's the thing.
But part of it is because they don't do anything with him.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is with Shinsuke Nakamura, if he was WWE champion and wasn't on TV every week, yeah, he'd feel special. But he's like not like they haven't really had him sniff anything. I mean, yeah, he had a program with Jinder, but that was
That was really underwhelming. Double T, hey, Stephen Larson, my question is a little weird, but pretend you both know literally nothing about wrestling outside of WWE. Does this change your perception of any wrestlers or storylines on the roster? I'd be really confused about this whole Balor Club thing.
Yeah. I'd be like, what's so special about Japan? Why is everybody talking about Japan?
What, they knew each other?
How
come they haven't been hanging out the whole time?
I know, exactly.
If Steve and I are in WWE, we'd be hanging out all the time.
I know.
That's confusing to me.
Oh, man, that is good.
Pretty much that one.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Karen, does it feel like Authors of Pain and Sanity are in a holding pattern in NXT until additional competitive tag teams emerge to challenge Undisputed Era? The tag division of SmackDown is jam-packed, but Raw could use fresh blood. Should both groups go to Raw, or who should go where? You mentioned earlier Sanity going to SmackDown. I do say put them both. But I mean, that's a lot of people on Raw.
I would just think Sanity'd be great on SmackDown to go up against the New Day.
I like that, but it scares the crap out of me.
No, I understand that
because there's so much has been wasted to just like look.
I
like comedy stuff,
yeah.
But the odds of Sanity being used right when you look at the Ascension. I mean, look, I love Breezango, but they're a comedy act. Who's a serious threat on SmackDown? Like, Gable and Benjamin aren't over freaking
yeah, I know.
Rusev Day was thrown together. We love Rusev Day,
super
but
over.
It's super over, but it's a comedy act. The new, like, it's just the Usos and then like the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
No.
It's like, it's a bunch of stuff that's like, you're either over because, not because of creative, but because of the personalities.
Yeah.
And sanity kind of depends on good creative.
Yeah.
You kind of need some decent creative.
And have
Sanity
go to Raw and have, like, Authors of Pain. It's, unless you have them do 10-minute promos, that's tough to mess them up. Just have them go out there and beat everybody. But the problem is, that's what Bludgeon Brothers
that's
are doing.
That's what the Bludgeon Brothers are doing, I know.
I guess they both have to go to Raw.
Yeah, I'm fine with that because there isn't a lot of...
Yeah.
What are we talking about with depth? T-Bar and then the Shield?
The new Shield.
The new Shield?
New Shield.
And then who else is there?
The Club, Revival.
Okay, the Club does, yeah.
They're going to have some space for them on in the tag title pictures at some point.
I find it far more likely that they would bring up Sanity and Authors of Pain and just put the Revival on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
If you want some Basham guys that aren't really the Bludgeon Brothers. Because Authors of Pain are too much like the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
Revival really isn't.
No, not at all.
So, I don't
know. And the Revival and New Day have some unfinished business.
Yeah, I'm still sad that freaking DIY broke up.
I know.
That bums me out.
Man, they were a great tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Connor Matthews, when do you guys think WWE will pull the trigger on Grand Metalik? I feel like he could be a foundation piece for 205 Live.
He puts on some good matches.
Dude, that guy can go.
Yeah.
That guy can flip and go. I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't know why they're not just... I mean, that was my thing about 205 Live in the first place. It's like, screw stories. Just let these guys put on like insane matches. People would be so geeked for that.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Dong Diggler.
That's a great name.
Power Rank, top five NXT wrestlers called to main roster this year. Sanity, Authors of Pain. Seems like there's not much for them to do in NXT anymore.
Yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Aleister Black, man.
Well, they can put the title on him.
He's the, in my opinion, he's the most over guy there, right?
Oh, yeah, which is probably why they might want to put the title on him. He can be the...
But then Adam Cole's there. I don't know how they're going
to
resolve
so
that.
So I'm telling you, whoever wins the Extreme Rules match...
Which has to be Adam Cole.
...is going to be the next champion. You'd think so.
Okay.
So I think Adam Cole might be the next champ. And then give it two takeovers. Aleister Black beats...
You're probably right, because I kind of feel like that's why they had Aleister Black take the pin in that Fatal 4-Way. Is to get that win out of the way so that when Adam Cole beats him at TakeOver, it's not such a big deal.
Yeah. And of course, Adam Cole's not going to win clean.
No, he'll have plenty of help.
So then Adam Cole gets the belt to TakeOver after that
in
Mania.
Extreme
and
Rules.
And then in LA, Survivor Series weekend.
In Extreme Rules matches, you can like have other people helping you.
No
right?
DQ, man.
No DQ. So they can just come in and start. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. He should have been, like, super celebrating. I mean, I know he had kind of a smile on his face. Adam Cole did.
Oh, yeah. First, he was up in real space, and that afterwards, he's like, okay.
He should have been, thanks, man. Use these guys.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
It's probably exactly why they booked it as Extreme
Rules
match.
Oh, here's a good question. Hmm. Eric Blah, the base hit king. Do you think Nikki Cross could ever go to Maine on her own? Or will she ever, or will she only go up as part of Sanity?
As long as she keeps her character as it is now, that's all she really needs.
I think she could. I mean, anything's possible. I would prefer not because I love what we saw last night. I love that stuff where she is willing to throw with the guys to, you know, get some revenge.
I know it's good
for her guys, you know. I love that stuff, man. I think it's great.
Alex C. is real.
He's real.
Do you think 205 Live suffers from being both a separate brand and part of another brand without any kind of mid-card title or tag title? It feels like anyone not the champ or chasing the champ is just milling about. That's not true. There's a spell when 205 Live was really going strong earlier this year where there was good stories for pretty much everybody on the roster, and it was a fun show. It might have been my favorite hour of WWE product at the time.
Yeah. There was a series of things that just happened, I think. Like, Noam Dar got hurt. Enzo...
Neville left.
Enzo kind of threw a kink in a lot of, I think, directions. And then Rich Swann got arrested. So, like, there was a couple things that I think just threw creative...
TJP got hurt.
I think there was a couple things that just sort of threw creative out of whack.
Yeah.
And they're still kind of recovering from that.
Austin Aries left.
It's still obvious. They don't know what they're doing with the Deo Tommy.
Yeah.
They are spinning their wheels there. So I think they, I think we've seen evidence that it doesn't necessarily have to be a bunch of milling about. It's just, I think that's how it comes off sometimes because of certain circumstances. Yeah. I mean, you got to figure it's not the biggest division in the world. And so they have to, like, it shows a lot more when, you know, vital pieces are missing. I mean, Neville versus Austin Aries, that was your, you know, cruiserweight main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They're both gone.
Yeah.
Austin Aries, what are you doing, man? Anyways, is that it for the show?
Sure.
This isn't going to work. Watch out, music. Oh, look, it works. Worked. Thanks, Hilton. Good job. Way to get that fixed. Thanks for watching, everybody. We appreciate it. Until next time, talk to you later.
Bye. That didn't work.
That didn't work.